Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
In Isaiah chapter 43, the Lord reminds those of us who belong to Him that we're precious in His sight, that He loves us, and He will protect us, so we should not fear. Even though there are flames of persecution and waters of adversity, because He is there with us. He knows us by name. And so, because we belong to Him, He says He will save us. He will rescue us. And all that we need to do is to trust in Him, to honor Him, to worship Him, to bring glory to His name. Yet, the Lord says in Isaiah 43, knowing these things, you have not called on me. You have not sought my face. In fact, He says, you have become weary of me. You've become tired of me. Have you forgotten how I rescued you from your bondage in the land of Egypt? Have you forgotten how I brought you through the waters of the Red Sea and I brought you to a land of promise? But you have burdened me with your sins. You've burdened me with your rebellion. You've wearied me with your iniquities. You've wearied me with your unbelief. There is no gratitude in your heart for all that I have done for you. So you can be sure of this. My chastening, my discipline will fall upon you so that you might turn from your wicked way and turn back to me. Incredibly, the people had forgotten all that the Lord had done for them throughout the history of their nation. The same way that we sometimes forget what He has done for us in our lives. And in the letter of Hebrews, the writer does not want us to forget. So he has taken us all the way through the course of human history, beginning at the creation of man, and culminating with Christ, so that we might not forget how God has dealt with us in Christ. But as we're about to take our last look together at this letter, it might be easy to forget much of what He's taught us, which is why He tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, the way that we will not forget is to apply what we have learned here. We need to live it, He says. We need to love, to value each other. We need to value our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to be devoted to each other in brotherly love. We need to reach out to those around us, to use the opportunities that the Lord gives to us to do things that have eternal value. We need to show sympathy. We need to show compassion to those who are suffering for Christ. We might find ourselves in that same position someday as we stand for Him. And the writer tells us that we are not only to honor Him outside of our home, but he says we need to honor Him within our home, in our marriage relationship, in our relationship as husband and wife. And in addition to that, he says, don't adopt the lifestyle of those around you, the perspective of the culture in which you live. But instead, be content. Be satisfied with what the Lord has allowed in your life at this moment in time, because despite the circumstances, He has promised that he will never desert us, that he will never leave us, he will never forsake us. We can always count on him. His grace is sufficient for all things. So don't be tossed around by the lies of the enemy, but instead rest in the faithfulness of Christ. Rest in the truth of his word. So as the writer closes his letter, once again, he directs our attention to Christ. He encourages us to focus on him. That's all we have. That's all we have. We only have Jesus. We have an altar, he says in verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 13. A thusiasterion, a place of sacrifice. But not a physical altar. Not a place where we bring a sacrifice. But he says we have a spiritual altar. Our Savior offered himself up as a sacrifice, did he not? On a cross. And he did that for us, for our sin. A sacrifice that was made one time. A sacrifice that is sufficient for all eternity. That's our altar, isn't it? The sacrifice of Christ, from which those who serve the tabernacle, the writer says, those who are still involved in the rituals and in the ceremonies of animal sacrifices have no right to eat, because they still believe that their acceptance with God was based on the sacrifice of an animal, which was just a picture, a shadow of the sacrifice of Christ. Their hope for forgiveness rested in those animals, but they rejected the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which is the only basis for our forgiveness with God. For the bodies of those animals, the writer says, whose blood was brought into the holy place by the high priest as an offering for sin, the bodies of those animals were burned outside the camp. Leviticus chapter 4 and Leviticus chapter 16, we read that since those animals were being sacrificed for the sins of the people, and God hates sin, that even the bodies of those animals needed to be brought outside the fence of the tabernacle, away from the presence of God, beyond the tents of the people. And they were to be consumed with fire. That is how much God hates sin. So again, once again, the writer encourages us to leave that past behind and embrace the finished work of Christ. Therefore, he says in verse 12, this is the point. As our sin offering, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people, hagiazo, separate us. He separated us from the world. He separated us from this sinful world. And he has made us acceptable to God through his own blood. So, since that is what he has done, it was necessary for him that he suffered outside the gate of the city of Jerusalem. Where was he crucified? Outside the walls of that city. As our sin offering. He was rejected by God. He was rejected by man as he took upon himself the weight of our sin. He is our sin offering who suffered outside the gate, outside the camp. So, since that is true, the writer says, let us who belong to him go out to him. Exercomai, Let us leave everything behind. Let us leave everything of this world, everything that this world has to offer, everything that we cling onto so tightly. Let us leave it. And let us keep going outside the camp to that place of solitude, to that place of suffering, to that place of rejection. Bearing, he says, Pharaoh, carrying, enduring his reproach, one dismos, his disgrace. That is where we need to take our stand, the writer says. We need to take our stand with Christ at the foot of the cross, willing to endure the shame as we identify ourselves with him. Is that where we're willing to take our stand? At the foot of the cross? Enduring the shame and the disgrace of Christ as we identify ourselves with him? We have nothing in common with this world anymore. And since this world rejects Christ, since this world hates him, it will reject us. It will hate us if we are truly following him. That's the measure of whether we're following Jesus Christ. The only place we can take our stand, the writer says, is with him at the cross. So we must abandon ourselves to him. We must get out of the city. Get out of this world. Get out of the pattern of this world. For here in this world, the writer says, we do not have a lasting city. There is no earthly city that is truly our home. But we, who know Christ, are seeking. Epizeteo. Eagerly. Anticipating. Even longing for the city which is to come. A heavenly city. The eternal city of heaven. That is what we wait for. That is what we long for. But we suffer now. We will rejoice. Weeping does last just for the night. And the shout of joy comes in the morning as our Lord Jesus Christ brings us an everlasting dawn. An eternity with him. So then, through Christ, the writer says, let us who belong to him do this. Let us continually, without ceasing, offer up to him. Bring forth this in our lives. A sacrifice. What kind of sacrifice? He says, a sacrifice of praise to God. This is the sacrifice that we're to offer. To continually bring to him a life that brings glory to his name. That kind of sacrifice. That is, he says, the fruit of lips. Our words. Our attitude. Sacrifice that brings and gives thanks to him. Homologeo. That acknowledges and that declares his goodness and submits to his name, to his onoma, to his authority, to the authority of God, of Christ, in our lives. That's the kind of sacrifice that he's looking for. Our sacrifice, though, is not only found in our words and in our attitude, the writer says, but it should be also found somewhere else. It should be found in our behavior. So he says in verse 16, do not neglect epilanthanomai. Do not let this important fact escape your attention. True worship, true praise, true sacrifice is the result, can be found in behavior that honors Jesus. The desire of our heart for doing good, eupoia, for doing what is right in the sight of the Lord. Sharing, koinonia, participating, fellowshipping, giving our lives, sharing our friendship, our love, our concern with each other. For with such sacrifices, the writer says, that are given from our heart, that are done in honesty, that are done in humility, that are done in the power of the Spirit of God, with these things, the writer says, the Lord is pleased with us. God is pleased with these kind of sacrifices. And, he says, he is also pleased with us when we obey our leaders, pietho, when we trust them, when we have confidence in them, when we have respect for them. For they have been given the responsibility by the Lord to set the direction of the fellowship. They have been raised up by him in order to teach the word of God with accuracy and completely. They have been raised up in order to lead and to nurture the people of God, the flock of God, in humility, leading by example of love, by their example of commitment to Christ and their devotion to him, leading as they are being led by the Spirit of God. And why wouldn't we want to follow men like that? So, the writer says, verse 17, submit to them. Hupiko. Yield to their authority. Let go. Stop fighting them. Because their authority comes from the Lord. Their authority comes from above. As Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 20, truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. Leaders are given to the church from God himself to lead his people. When we submit to them, we submit to God. For those whom the Lord has given to his people in the church, they are gifts given to the body of Christ, it says in Ephesians chapter 4. Gifts who keep watch, the writer says in verse 17. Agrupneo. They never sleep. They are always on guard. They're always alert as protectors for or over your soul, over your psuche, your mind, your heart, your life. They are shepherds who rejoice in the responsibility they have been given to lead the flock of God. I have no greater joy than this, the Apostle John said in 3 John 4, than to hear that my children, my spiritual children, are walking in the truth. Not just that we know the truth, but that we live the truth. That is what brings joy to the leaders in the church, to the shepherds. It is a sobering responsibility. It is an overwhelming assignment to be a leader in the church. And no one is adequate for that assignment. No one is adequate without the grace of God, without his help, without his enablement without his guidance. Because the direction of the lives of the people that have been entrusted to him by God are at stake, even their eternity. And those whom he has called and equipped for that task, verse 17 says, will give an account to him for how faithfully they have handled that responsibility. So what is our part? The writer says, let them do this with joy. Let them rejoice as they see our lives, as we glorify Christ, as we are obedient to him. That is what brings the shepherds joy. Not with grief, he says, stenazzo, with pain down in their soul, with sorrow in their heart, because they see how we reject the truth, how we walk in rebellion against God. This brings them pain. And this, the writer says, would be unprofitable, alusiteles, without value for you. Not useful, but harmful for you. It'll bring bitterness. It'll bring resentment. Your rebellion will hinder your growth in Christ. So he says, pray for us. We're weak. And the responsibility is great. And as leaders, we need your prayers. For we are sure, as much as lies within us, that we have a good conscience. Sunedesis. Our awareness. Our consciousness of who we are and what we do. Our motives are pure and undefiled by sin. Desiring, he says, thelo, strongly motivated to conduct ourselves honorably, kalos, in an excellent manner in all things. But being in this position, the writer reminds us, we are a target for the enemy. And we're a target for those that he uses against us. So, he says in verse 19, I urge you, parakaleo, I encourage you, I beg you all the more, pray for us. For the prayers of a righteous man or a righteous woman in Christ ascend to the throne of God, and God inclines his ear to those cries, and he will answer those prayers. So the writer says, I appeal to you to do this, so that because of your prayers, I may be restored. Apo kathistemi. That I will be given back to you. That I will return to you the sooner, tachos, quicker, faster. Your prayers will bring me back. But until I see you face to face, I pray that the God of peace, the only one who brings peace and safety to us, the one who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, the good shepherd, says in John 10:11, who gave his life for the sheep, the chief shepherd, it says in 1 Peter 5:4, who will return for us, he is the great shepherd. He is the one who has conquered death. He is the one who has conquered the grave. He's the one who's conquered sin and Satan through the blood, through his blood, the blood of the eternal covenant. Diatheke. The eternal agreement. The promise that God has made with himself to set us free from our sins by his blood, even, yes, even through Jesus our Lord. In him there is power to set us free. In him there is power to live. So I pray that he may equip you, katarizo, that he might prepare you and help you and supply what you lack to bring eternal value and eternal results in every good thing that you do for him. May he enable you to do his will in your lives, working and accomplishing not only in you, but in all of us, that which is pleasing and acceptable in his sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. It all comes from him, doesn't it? Our sufficiency is found in Christ. We are helpless. We are hopeless without him. To whom be the glory and the majesty and the honor and the praise, both now and forever and ever. Amen. Truly, may it be so. So, what more can I say, the writer tells us? What more can I say than I have already said? I urge you, brethren, to seriously consider what I have written here and to bear with it. Aneko, hold yourselves back. Show some restraint. Prayerfully consider these words and let them sustain you. For the Lord is speaking to you with this word of exhortation. That's what this letter is, he says. It is a word of exhortation. And some of these things may require some time, some prayer to absorb. We've covered many things here, the writer tells us. But know this, I have written to you briefly. There is much more that we could have said, because the subject is one that is of such great importance. Beloved in Christ, I have some news to give you, the writer says. Some important news. So take notice of this. Ginosko, make note. Be advised. There is good news to share. There is a reason for rejoicing. And the reason is that our brother in Christ, Timothy, has been released. Apaluo. He's been set free from his bonds. With whom, if he comes to me soon, then we will travel together. And both Timothy and I will see you. But until that time, the writer tells us in verse 24, greet all of your leaders in the church. Greet all of the saints in Christ who are there with you. Those here with me. Those from Italy greet you. Brothers, sisters, remember these things. Do not forget these words. We're one in Christ. So I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the grace by which we have been saved, the grace in which we stand, will be with you all without measure. I pray that his grace may abundantly overflow in your lives until the day of his glorious return for us. May he find us ready. May he find us waiting. May he find us faithfully serving him, devoted to him in all things, bound together in love for him, sealed with his blood forever. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.